Welcome to this meeting of Exmouth Town Council. I am Councillor Steve Gazzell, Chairman of Exmouth Town Council. This is a formal meeting of Exmouth Town Council and will follow the agenda which you have all received, which has been published on the Council's website. The meeting is being recorded and an audio recording will be uploaded to the Town Council's website in due course. I'll not read the next part because I can't see any press or members of the public. Apologies for absence, please, Lisa.
So I've got apologies for absence from Angela Boatwright, Frank Cullis, Ollie Davey, Lynn Elson, Eileen Beach, Alex Sadiq, Tony Woodward and Aurora Bailey. Should be everybody.
I'm going to just give Councillor Jeff Tran.
Okay.
Did you mention David Paul?
No, David Paul, yeah. Okay. I haven't heard from Ian Kervan.
Any other apologies? No? Thank you. So we have no members of public to speak, so we'll move on to the minutes of last meeting, which was held on the 14th of November 2022, which has been attached. Can I have a poser and seconder that needs to be signed as a true record, please? Pauline, stop proposing.
Second.
Sorry. Councillor Fred Cagle, second. Yeah?
No, Maddie Chapman.
Oh, sorry,
or Joe Whibley.
Thought I saw a little.
No. Joe Whibley had his hand up
okay.
As well.
All right. Thank you. So, all those in favour, could you please show by raising your hand? Thank you. That's carried. So, we move on to matters arising from the council meetings for information only. Have you got any updates, Lisa?
Nope.
No? Okay. So, we move on to item.
Sorry.
Hi. Yes, Mike.
Yeah, that's just what I meant. I mean, the last week I did mention a follow up from the previous meeting with South West Water. And I broke to Imposter with his agreement after the meeting and have not received a reply. And just to say, eventually I've got a reply, surprisingly. And I had a meeting, not to represent the council, just as an individual councillor concerned about what's going on down there. With a manager on Friday with a member from Escape, and there was a sort of little bit of progress. But I thought it was quite amusing that this manager thought that possibly they didn't need to worry about dumping sewage in the water because seagulls' poo is far more potent than a human poo. So anyway, but there was some progress, and we're going to have another discussion next month. So I think meeting with South West Water was not all in vain.
Thank you very much for that update.
We haven't had a response from Ian Vosper.
Sorry?
We have not had any further communication from Ian Vosper, even though there were a number of questions raised at the meeting, which he said he would come back to us on. And he emailed me and asked me to confirm what those outstanding issues were straight after the meeting. And I did that, but I've not had a response. So I'll chase that up.
Resolve that the press and the public be excluded from the meeting during the consideration of items in part 2 of the agenda. So as you can see, we have one item which is item 8. We'll do that. Item 6, to receive and consider reports and minutes of the meeting, working parties and other bodies, and town clerk, deputy clerk, district and county councillors as appropriate. So we start with Planning Committee minutes of the meeting held on 7th of November, 21st of November, 22. Councillor Jo Wibley, please.
I would like to present these minutes to the council and maybe vote on them. Yes. I can't think what the words are. It's been a long day.
Yeah. Thank you, Councillor Taylor. All those in favour, please shout. Thank you. Hopefully then we move on to the Finance Committee minutes of the meeting held on the 24th of November 22, which have been circulated because the wrong ones were attached to the paperwork. Councillor Ollie Davey is not here, so is it your wish that we accept these minutes and can have a proposer in second? Yeah. Councillor Maddy Chapman, seconded by. Sorry.
We probably ought to have a proposer that was at the meeting. Was at the meeting.
Okay. Councillor Joy Whips.
Brian was.
And what? Brian Toy.
Yeah.
And Councillor Brian Toy. Thank you, Lisa. All those in favour, Michelle. Thank you. We then move to the Community Organisation
Meeting. No, Town Clerk's Report.
Oh, sorry, Lisa. Didn't miss that. Next item, Town Clerk's Report. Any questions to Lisa, please?
I think it's self-explanatory. No? Yeah. Tim?
So we know
Tim, that, Tim's got a question.
Oh, Councillor Tim Dunn.
Yeah, just think that your report didn't include the latest update that you'd sent us about the hotel no longer being required.
I don't think that's in the public domain yet, though, so for the purpose of the recording, I won't elaborate, but I have sent an email with an update.
Excuse me, it's in the Daily Telegraph.
Oh, was it?
It is in the public domain.
So it
is in the public domain.
What, that it's been stood down?
Okay, that's fine.
The question I wanted to ask was the one I think I asked by email the other day, which is, that has been stood down. Presumably, the hotel, the nominated hotel, should be kept out of the public domain. Was that?
Well, I think there was lots of speculation about various hotels being put forward.
Sure. I'd mentioned to a resident as well, so not the main hotel, but that stood down.
Evening, Richard. Hello, Richard. Welcome. So, we meant to take a large report then. Thank you. Oh, sorry, Manny Chapman.
Yeah, no, I'm just
joking. Oh. Oh, okay.
Very good. I know.
Move on to the Deputy Clerk's report, which is attached. Any comments to the Deputy Clerk's report, please? Apart from, I understand, a boo-boo.
References to pants.
Thank you. Thank you to all those who spotted. So, no further questions on that. So we note the Deputy Clerk's report. We move on then to the Community Organisations Liaison Panel, better known as the CULT, meeting held on the 28th November 2022, and David Poor is not here. I think you're on that, aren't you?
I was going to say we should present the minutes of that meeting. I know I was there, but I should take over from David when it doesn't turn up.
Is there any questions you'd like to put to Councillor Stott?
The only thing is a couple of minutes. It's got a festival working party after this.
They're just for noting because there weren't any recommendations in there.
Thank you very much. We then move on to the Festival and Events Working Party notes of the meeting held on the 10th of November 2022. Councillor Joy Whips, please.
Well, they are fairly self explanatory, but we've had the Winter Festival since then. And if you went there, you missed a treat. It was very successful. It was a fabulous day. Cold. But apart from that, it was a fabulous day, and I think everyone that was there in mind on social media, and there were several phone calls to the council afterwards to say how much people had enjoyed the day.
Funny enough, somebody was saying that the, when we were in, and they were amazed to see all these little lanterns flicking by, which they thought was absolutely fantastic, and the band as well.
Yep.
And I think they made it kind of a spectacle this year. Yes. It's really good.
Yes, and what was that band called?
Spark World Meters.
They were exceptional, weren't they? They certainly were. Mm. Yes, they really were.
They stayed on that festival for about a good half an hour afterwards.
Yes.
So can we just record our thanks to Charlie for all the hard work that he did, and also all the stewards that came out that night to assist, on, as you said, on a very cold night.
Yes. And all councillors that turned out as well. I mean, we could have done with a few more, so next year, if you are available, please put your name forward, because you are needed.
Chair, I think my apologies, I may, for not stewarding. I usually do the stewarding. You know, if I took my grandchildren, so I cannot be in two places at once. They thoroughly enjoy it, and I would like to thank Joy for organising it along with our committee. And the robots are absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. And if we can get them back for another year, it would be absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Buddy Chapman.
Can I ask the town clerk? I'm a bit confused as to why East Avon, Joe might know this, relinquished the premises licence for the ground earlier in the year. What was all that about? Why don't we call that coming up with licensing?
Which licence
is there? For the strand.
So there used to be East Devon used to hold the premises licence for the strand as an entertainment space. So when you were applying for use of the Strand, often it would come under the East Devon's premises licence. For some reason, that wasn't renewed. So we learnt at the 11th hour that we needed to put in a 10 for the licensable activities of the festival, which is basically the amplified music for the choirs. And we found out just in time to be able to put in the application. But we'd been working on the assumption that there was still a premises licence in place for the Strand.
That's the first I've heard of any of that. Can we do some
research? Everybody received that? I'm not sure.
I've
received it. Okay, so Bruce reported that Dave Sears joined the meeting from South West Water, touched on the Mayor Rock's discharge, and said that Ian Vosper will be dealing with the questions that ETC put to South West Water. The main piece of good news was that the Fear Park pump has had a full upgrade, and Kate Pearson from the Environment Agency thanked us for attending the formal event to mark the end of the tidal defence project, and mentioned that the memo of understanding with East Devon District Council was still to be completed, and that full notes from the meeting will follow once Lisa Greenway is back at work, and that's for circulation. But I don't think it's been circulated because we got tied up with something else this afternoon. So I'll forward that, but that's in essence what Bruce had reported by email.
Thank you for that, Bruce. Much appreciated. Anyway.
Can I just ask?
Yes.
And is this finished for defence work? Oh, it's along the seafront, it's still not fully up. And if Kira finished it, it should,
So let me explain that nothing to do with the flood defence works. A lamp column has been removed from the seafront. And that lamp column is needed in order to hook up the last section. So we're trying to find out from Devon County Council when the lamp column is going back, if it's going back, because we'd assumed that it had been removed as part of the flood defence works, but actually it's got nothing to do with the flood defence works, and we don't know why the column's been removed. So at the point at which the column goes back, we'll have another fixing point to put the last string of lights up, but they're in storage awaiting confirmation.
But if by any chance they don't put the column back, which I doubt it, because they save money on the column, then is it possible to put them on a bit further to the last column, or to the column that the middle of it, so that it goes down to the road?
I don't know, because the lengths of lights are in set lengths, so the other challenge we've had is that where lamp column positions have moved, we've had to readjust, you know, festoon lengths, but also we need a power source. And what happens is the lamp columns feed power in both directions. So it depends where the power source is for that one, and if there's a festive lighting socket or a power source. If there isn't, then it's a bit more complicated. But we are on the case.
Oh, that's good.
There's also half a dozen lamp bulbs that are out, which have been recorded. I went out in the dark and noted the column numbers and how many lamp bulbs in the column, the bulbs are out. And when Sound Events come back to take our Christmas lights down and they've got use of the cherry picker, they will go out and replace the defective bulbs. That will be done at the same time, but it will be in the new year when the Christmas lights are taken down.
It's also the lights on the beach gardens towards Harbour View.
Yeah.
The string of them has come down.
Okay.
So they connect them to the
wireless pole. Is that on the roadside or
no,
on the beach side?
The beach side.
Okay, so on the beach side, we've also got a problem because we're waiting for East Devon. The lamp columns on the beach side are owned by East Devon District Council, not the County Council, and they've had a programme of replacing lamp columns along there because one of them was unsafe. And so we were asked to take the festoons down from a section there, and we can't reinstate them until the lamp columns are replaced. So again, it's work in progress, we're aware, but we can't put them back up. Right, okay. Okay, I'll check that because I'm aware that there's a missing section down there, but I wasn't aware that a section was droopy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay. Okay.
As the stocks just reported about contract extension via Park, as they finish, can they not remove the barriers? On the crossing, as they come up with the road, they have to go down and use the bigger entrance, as I call it, rather than the old gates.
Yeah.
There's Harris fence in there and it says no entry. Well, if they finish, can they not move the Harris fence and let them use the proper entrance?
As Bruce will probably say, that was raised at the flood and land drainage meeting.
And
we asked them to go away to come back and let us know when it's going to be open. And as you say, I haven't heard anything. I don't think you have.
No, I haven't. Really.
No.
Can I just ask, looking at the notes for the drainage, I'm not quite sure what meeting that for.
The previous one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it says in section 7 that the Mayor Road pump station is planned to be upgraded to reduce bills. Is there any update on that?
Well, other than the fact that the apartment has had the full upgrade.
That's yeah, but it's the Mayor Road conversation needs to be upgraded, so it's not discharging.
It might be something in hospital, but if it isn't in hospital,
yeah.
I'll be happy to case it with Dave Stevens.
That'd be brilliant.
If it turns out that it's not in hospital. Because obviously he was keen at Paisley point out that he wanted to separate the questions he was going to give our working party from the questions that Ian Boston was going to ask.
Right,
okay,
that'd be
great, thanks.
Councillor
Manichan. Yes, can I come back on that? This came up at scrutiny at East Devon
their pumping station, £1.5 million upgrade. At the moment, we've been told at East Devon. When that's going to happen, I don't know, but that's what we've been told over there.
So the main road?
The main road.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, it'd be good to know when, whether it's.
Yeah, well, they didn't tell us when.
Yeah.
Do you want to take an exact date?
The 6th, 7th. No. 3rd, 6th, please.
Yes, I just wanted to mention something which wasn't actually noted on those notes. That I brought up, which is about the trees that were replanted and replaced after the flood scheme was put in, the ones along the estuary. And it has been noted by other people that at least 4 of those trees have died, and various of them were in bad condition. I asked a question about that, and it was reported that they were being assessed and they were going to be replanted when necessary. So that was actually brought. Another thing, responding to what's just been asked by Councillor Rosser and replied to by Councillor Maddie Chapman, my understanding was 2025 was one of those items, that mere pumping station, the large investments, that they were going to be done by 2025. And it is somewhere in the notes. It's not in the notes for that meeting, but in the notes.
Thank you for that. No, I think that's pretty right to say. I've been mentioned for lots of things. So, oops.
Excuse me, Chair, may I ask
you? Councillor Brandon.
Thank you very much. Bruce, could you tell me if there's any truth in this statement from Safe West Water that when they've got these pumping stations up and running, if there's a situation where we have regularly where it rains and we get the overspill on the Met, is their intention to pump the sewage directly out to sea via Sandy Bay?
Thank you for that, Councillor. I'd have to look into that and chase that up with South West Water, because obviously I haven't heard anything directly about that. But if you're wanting the working party to look into this, I'm sure we could raise it at another meeting.
Please,
thank
you.
Can I just comment that when Ian Voss came to the meeting, he did say that they are pumping treated sewage out to Sandy Bay, and their permit allows them to do that. And the upgrades to the treatment works in Mare Lane would potentially allow them to discharge more treated sewage, UV light treated sewage, to Sandy Bay. And that's why they had the rig out there doing the core sampling. Mm-hmm. He did report that at the meeting, that there was potential for them to discharge more, but it would be subject to their permit being reviewed by the Environment Agency. But he did say that that was a possibility, but it would be subject to permit, because there's a difference between the untreated sewage that finds its way into the water as a result of the storm surges, and the treated sewage which they are allowed to discharge under their permit conditions.
It was said to me by a member of Safe West Water staff not too long ago that in the case of emergency, to relieve the pressure, raw sewage would be pumped out there.
Don't think they're allowed to do that under their permit scheme. When they have the stormwater surges, then that's sometimes an unforeseen consequence, which is when they get reported, because their permit conditions don't allow them to do that. That's my understanding. Is that yours, Mike?
That's my little reply.
Yes, yeah.
My understanding, I'm an expert on the opportunity, is that the treatment sewage is all straight to point. It's not actually
sound. Right.
Sandy Bay has lost its new flat from that point. I don't know how that's happened, obviously. It's having there's anecdotal suggestions that raw sewage is going in there, but I don't have the principles of that.
Thank you. So, Councillor Kendall.
Yeah, just to comment on the bit about straight on. As I understand it, from when the search frameworks was really renewed all those years ago in the mid 90s, I was under the impression, and I was told by this, what was going out of straight point range would be treated liquid, which would be virtually like clean water. He even said that you could drink it, and I didn't want to challenge you to that. But the fact was what was being told at the time, that it's clean water going out, then we need to not worry about it. What's been treated, it's not treated sewage per se, it's treated liquid because the solids have been taken away by wind. I don't think Sand Bay has lost its blue flag because of stuff going out of the discharge.
Can I just say that just briefly. The fish, it's a very good place to fish right by that angle. Fish, there's a lot of nutrition there from the sewage. Discharged, so I don't think it's just clean water.
Well, that's what was told to me.
Yeah, I know.
Perhaps there's.
Can I make a suggestion? I think listening to everyone, I seem to remember when up to the sewage plant, you can book and ask to have a tour around and have it explained. And I think it would be a good idea for this committee to go and have a look and see exactly how it works and what they plan to do. I don't know what you think, Chair.
It's fine, we can try and facilitate that, and if anybody's interested, that's fine.
Yeah. I've actually done this, Chair, with some other members of Parliament. I was very interested. One of the people that showed me is I didn't actually think off the record that it was fit for purpose. And the system is saying that his words, not mine.
Thank you. I've got to work very well.
Okay. Thank you all for your input on that. And as you said, we'll look to see what we can arrange in conjunction with the Flood and Land Drainage Working Party. Can I ask you to note the verbal report? Thank you. Then we move on to the Town Maintenance Overview Working Party. Notes of the meeting held on the 19th of November 2022. That's not here, so can we note those minutes, please? Yes? Thank you. Apologies for that. Yep. So we then move on to reports from members and representatives of the council on outside bodies.
We've just done that one.
We move on to the Web Health and Wellbeing Board. Most of their board notes are meeting held on the 17th of November 2022. And obviously, Councillor Dave Ford has given his apologies tonight. Are you happy that we note those minutes? Yeah. Thank you. We then move on to the Association of Local Councils, Councillor Tim Dumper. Notes of the County Committee's meeting held on the 17th of November 2022. That's been circulated and hopefully you read that. Have you got any questions to Councillor Tim Dumper, please? No? Okay, happy. Yeah. Councillor Dumper.
Just briefly, Steve, to say that that I actually attended as your substitute for the minutes that are provided there of the larger councils. I've also recently attended a county committee, which isn't noted there, but I will report more on that next time in a written form. Just to say that I think it was noted as the county committee rather than the larger council, so that needs an adjustment in the minutes, I think. Anyway, just to say that they are proposing a new set of arrangements around county committee. We're not actually sure exactly how they're going to do that at the moment, but when we met at the AGM of the racecourse, there was a proposal put forward to that effect, that in effect county committee be dropped, but they are now going to continue it in some form. Maybe that Councillor Brian Bailey, is one of the directors of DALC, has something to add on.
Thank you, Tim. We have a board meeting scheduled for, I think, 1:45 on the 14th. So in a couple of days, and when that decisions are made, then I'll be quite happily report back to you and email the clerk on whatever decisions we make. But as you know, the county officer has been unwell for a little while, so we're hoping for a gradual return to her. And meanwhile, Rebecca's been holding the fort. Doing a very good job, so things are going to change, but obviously there's a lot involved, and we feel that we don't wish to get rid of the county committee totally, because that would be a negative exercise, because we need the input. And the problem is, where are we going to get the input from if we get rid of the county committee entirely? So it's a difficult thing, but I personally don't agree that we should get rid of them entirely. It must be a happy medium. Perhaps they could maybe via Zoom meet a bit more often and put a bit more input into us, because we don't get a great deal of input from at the moment.
Thank you.
Councillor White Ross. Yeah, I've just noticed that item four, a letter from East Devon to the Prime Minister regarding action of the County Committee to make final decision whether or not to endorse the letter. Do we know, did they endorse it?
Yes, we do know, and yes, they did.
That's great.
Good, thank you.
Thank you for that.
That's my proposition today.
Good. Thank you for that update, Councillor Dunford.
Since this letter's been mentioned, are we going to be privy to the contents of that letter, or is that totally private?
Good question. I mean, I understand it was shared at the LEP meeting, wasn't it? Or not the LEP, but the... It was shared. Oh no, Team Devon. The letter had been shared at Team Devon, and the chair of the larger council's meeting bought it for endorsement at the larger council's committee meeting. But I was trying to find out whether I could circulate it, because it's not my intellectual property.
No, I understand.
And I haven't had a response back, so I don't know.
Listening to what you just said, is that actually in the public domain at some point?
It seems to have been. Whether it was part of the Team Devon agenda, I don't know. I'll have a look tomorrow and see if I can find it. It's part of the Team Devon agenda.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay.
Just if I can add one little snippet to that. I don't know that you've helped, but I did speak with Captain Causey at East Devon and asked her whether she had any input or whether it was purely a thing which had been raised through. When I read it, I thought, well, this is a planning document, very much come from planning officers. And Catherine told me that she had, and that she had been privy to it or seen it. So.
The Team Devon agenda is on the Devon County Council website. I'll have a look and see if it's on there, as if it's linked, and if so, I'll circulate the link to everybody so you can see it.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, can I just say that I'm probably a bit naive, but I thought there was something called in government and assumed that all this should be in. Why should it be confidential? I mean, it affects all of us.
I don't know that it is confidential, but it's not my intellectual property to circulate, that's all. And so, you know, I'd sought assurances that it was okay to circulate. Yeah. I'm not happy to do that until I'm told that I can.
Thank you. So you're happy that we note the report from the Council of Tim Dunbar. Thank you. We now move on to district councillors' reports. Do we have any district councillors that wish to give a verbal report?
Bruce.
Councillor Bruce Desai.
Yes, thank you, members. I
I fought very hard for the Jarvis Close car park, which members will note as the Cabinet decided that they would be looking for housing as the way forward. I made it clear that I wasn't anti-having houses, but as the Mayor himself said at the Cabinet, it may be too soon to put it over to housing until we know what the toilets situation will be. So obviously I did ask for that to be looked at again, but regrettably I was told that it hasn't been a decision. It was out of scope of the call-in, but I just wanted members to know that I did try, whatever the outcome, very hard for a suitable resolution to the Jarvis Close toilets and car parking situation within the ward. Thank you, members.
Thank you. Any other?
Can I just ask you?
Yes,
There was two options for the Cabinet to seek housing. Option A was to seek housing, and option B was to consider to leave things as they were, as the free car park. And basically, option A was adopted to go for the housing, to seek the housing option. And I didn't disagree with that, but I wanted to put a pause on it until we actually know what is going to be faced before us. Because I think, as our Cabinet, the Mayor's Council, as I said, if we use the toilets for another purpose, then the car park could be useful for the people that go there.
What I was saying is I didn't know whether East End were going to sell it to a developer and so they could develop what they wanted on it, or whether it was going to be used for council housing, because we need more council houses, and as it belongs to East End and the land, could somebody actually... Yeah, I was going to say, at East End, could somebody try and push that forward, that it goes for council housing rather than for any developer to be, you know, buy the land? Because that's what seems to be happening at the moment. Everybody's selling off land, Devon County, and it tends to go for developers.
Councillor Kagan.
Just to allay your fears, I constantly bring up about the Soviet Council district, and I think it's incredible if we sell it to a developer. It needs to be something natural. Our own young people always count. That's council housing, and that's what it should be. And they sell it.
They did at the first cabinet meeting say that it would be for social housing.
Yeah, so long as it's East End social housing, not by Sanctuary or any of the
others. But we can, as district councils, we can check that and raise it again.
Okay.
Thank you for your report. Any councillor Joe Whitley?
Yeah, just as I've circulated a written report, just as an addition to that. Along with Councillor Miller, partly to do some other things, but one of the things we did talk about was the shelter in Fair Park and some of the stuff that's been going on there. The head seems to think that the best thing to do is just to demolish it, so which, yeah, is not really satisfactory, but well, absolutely not, but I think, you know, rather than he thinks it would be easier for him if we launched it, because then he's because then he would be newspaper headlines of all of our the street scenes and really brightly so. But actually other than that, it was a really positive meeting. But yeah, that was the one negative thing, and the one thing that really sort of affects people near. So but other than that, it's I've submitted a written report.
The trouble with the head that's there now, in comparison to the previous head, his attitude is once the kids are off site and it's 3 o'clock, they're no longer his responsibility, and that is it. So what goes on in Fear Park, you know, it is nothing to do with school. Unlike the previous head, whose attitude was, well, actually, you're still in school uniform and therefore you aren't part of the school, therefore you're still part of the responsibility, and so consequently. When things like that happened in the thick part, the kids knew there were consequences.
Yeah.
This chap doesn't seem to care, quite frankly. And that's why the school is now failing. Yeah. It doesn't surprise me, actually, that his attitude, knock it down.
Yeah, I think one of the one of their sort of three tenets, I don't remember what they call it there, is about involvement in the community. facility and more about teaching and learning and all that, and they do seem to be making progress towards those to some extent. But the involvement in the community thing, I don't see a lot of it.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. So just involvement in the community is being proud of your community. And, and as he also seems to think a lot of it is ex-pupils as well. You know, they're writing names on there, you can look out for this.
Yeah. I was there and I saw drugs being passed.
Yeah.
And I know, unfortunately, I saw a teacher actually, and I spoke to her and I said, I've just seen this, who can I report that to? She thought I shouldn't bother. Because unless you know who it was, nothing will get done. Yeah, and that wouldn't have been with the hotel. Yeah, absolutely.
Councillor Brian Toy.
Yeah, I did raise this at the CIO meeting this morning. It's the number of houses that have a minimum number and which they do not pay any contribution towards CIO S106. And I wonder who sets that limit, the other limit. Who sets the limit on the number of houses we can ask for in any large development? You know, is it East End or is there some government directive?
It's not on the agenda, Steve. You can't really debate it.
I can't really comment on that because it's not on the agenda, Brian. So I can't do anything. I can try and find out. I couldn't give you a concrete answer tonight. Sorry. Okay, now, other Councillor Manny Chapman.
Yes, the environmental health and the group over at East Devon, I have to say, have been working really, really well. We're trying to pick up any tenants that are heading for trouble and trying to help them before they get to a difficult situation where they're not paying their rent or something like that, and they need support or it's causing mental health issues. And the government has put money forward, and so they're a brilliant team. They are working really, really hard to try to cover this and try to stop people borrowing money from loan sharks. It's a big problem at the moment, because before Christmas people think, oh, what the hell, we'll do something nice for the kids, and they borrow the money and then they're caught. So we have said to them, you know, if you can see a family that you think could be targeted by loan sharks, we need to try and get in first, and this is what they're trying to do. So, yes, I do applaud the team over there for doing that. They are working hard behind the scenes, and they are short-staffed, but they are trying to help the vulnerable, so that's good. And the taxi drivers have got an increase in the fare. So we're trying to support them as well, as Joe said.
Yeah.
So we had a meeting with them, which went very well, didn't they?
They were.
And they have their say, and they seem to be quite happy. So that's where we are at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Excuse me, Joe, may I ask Councillor Joe would be a question regarding the taxi drivers?
Thank you, Joe.
There was some indecision as to when you were going to actually bring in the repairs. Someone said it's the 7th of December, and someone said a bit further on. Have you got a specific date?
So we actually had a representative from one of the taxi firms in Hollington who turned up. If you look at the way that the legislation is written, it appears to say that from the second, so you have to advertise it for 2 weeks, so there's a change, you have to advertise it for 2 weeks. And the legislation appears to say that from the second the advert is closed, if you haven't had any negative responses, they can change the fares. But that's not how it actually happens. The short answer to your question is as soon as we agreed it. So we had the meeting on the 6th, 7th, I remember, last week. And from the second we agreed it, I mean, they have to go and have their meters changed, but it was from that point.
Yeah.
And it's just an anomaly in the way that the legislation works.
may I ask one very quick one? If that's all right. The meters obviously need to be changed. Now, what about if a member of the taxi association was in a position to buy the relevant equipment or had it already? Could they not do that, change the meters here, as long as it's certificated by a professional operator who knows what he's doing, rather than get them all travelling down to Torquay, which obviously costs a lot of money. And you've got probably 80 taxis there altogether. It's a lot of guns.
It is, apparently it's quite high demand because we're not the only district changing taxi fares at the moment. Short answer is, again, you know, I don't know. I imagine there's a you know, you have to be licensed to be able to change meters.
Absolutely, yeah.
So as to whether I don't think that the council necessarily would yeah, it's a private business. I think the council can do that. As to whether or not we can encourage somebody closer to do it, I think that would be useful for us all.
Well, there is.
Not sure that's within our.
There is. A well-known taxi company in Exxon who have one of these devices that can change the meters. There is a qualified person available to do it. So would you be kind enough to find out if you could possibly arrange that instead of them?
If you want to pass on the details of the taxi firm and your ID to contact speak to there.
Okay.
And I can put them in touch with
them.
They have to be approved though, don't they?
Yes,
they
I mean
Good evening, Richard. First of all, Richard, to cheer you up, I thank you very much for your very quick response to my questions. And I'm most grateful that you bothered to answer very quickly. And I'm very pleased with that, Richard. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Good.
Any further questions to Councillor Fred Cagan?
Yes, I would echo that, Richard. Back to us about the car park charges. Are you able to elaborate any more detail other than what the car park
charges?
The car parking on the street front.
Oh, the on street parking?
Yes.
More detail than you want.
Well, I know. Have you got any more detail other than what you replied in the email?
You need to specifically tell them what details you want to reply to the question.
Okay. Do you know why it's been so long? Because I got it from the district councillor, it's been going on for 20 years. You said something about a councillor.
And you specifically talked about Seaton.
Seaton, actually.
So Seaton, the decision was made, I think, about 12 years ago. Right. The local member of there not to charge. You got it there right in Seaton.
A local county councillor or a district?
A local county councillor.
Right.
So I don't think when it comes up for a change, see the situation continue. So he's 10 to 12 years old. I don't know who that council was. My personal view is just because it's happening in Seaton doesn't make a difference to what happens in Exmouth. So we are going to continue to charge in Exmouth. And as it's a large visitor town, it's the right thing to do. You have to understand what the strategy of on street parking is. We want people parking in the district council car parks. We want churn on the highway.
I understand that. So what you're saying is, no matter what any representation anybody makes, it won't change. Is that what you're saying?
In Exmouth, no. In Seaton,
probably. So is it? So you can't charge in Seaton, that's fine. It's called a level playing field.
Yeah.
It's called you raise an issue we have made by appealing or through my church.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And Councillor Bannerchat.
Don't care which way it goes.
I think if you look at if you look at the direction of travel in terms of charge for parking, full stop, the reality is, I
but it's not very long because it's three five to 7 years. It's going to go on because the strategy of county council is to try and reduce counties. So whether I agree with that or not, that's a kind of direction of travel.
Richard, I've had a few complaints through about the mud from Gilmore's Farm on Demon Way. You probably heard it. Okay, I'll leave it with you then, dear.
It won't be left with me, it'll be left with council trade. That's his day.
You're going to point it over to him.
I will work with my partners and he'll deal with it. He has a very good relationship, as we both do, with the manager on that site. I can tell you they are trying their best. It's not easy if you don't know. But they generally are very responsive and very quick. And Jeff generally speaks to the manager on the site daily.
Thank you. I can't see any other hands raised. Thank you.
Is there any possibility that Devon County Council would consider trying to develop schemes for making it more pedestrian and cycle friendly, and accept that that might mean reducing road area to pedestrian traffic?
No.
brief answer.
So you've got your answer. That's awesome. No further questions to Councillor Scott? Or Councillor Tickdumper?
Yeah, I just wanted to say we've just had finished, I think, Councillor John Hart's round of budget briefings, etc. Several of us were unable to go because we were at the planning committee for our East Devon one. And I just wondered whether other people had been and whether Richard might have heard any responses or anything at all from that, anybody wants to report.
So the East Devon one, I think the term I may or may not be parish of town council, but there was more county council than anybody else, which we don't hear beyond it because we don't understand the situation and work with daily. But I think there was four or five.
Chetner attended on behalf of the town council because we have clashed with planning. But
there was only four or five people on it. Two people asked questions. Bear in mind what John was telling me was, in my view, because it needs to be understood. You may not agree with the message, and sometimes I don't, but it needs to be understood what the current financial position is and what needs to be done about the current financial position. So I hear many sides of the argument. I hear it's not the money, I hear spending too much, I hear government won't give enough, but there's a balance to that, and that's a replaced on the council tax. So we formed the county council now massively different, and in my opinion, that requires a different level of responsibility. So when you get it from central government, it's kind of free. You don't have to work for it. When the taxpayer in this county is paying directly, I think we should be expecting more. Mine comes off some of adults and children's. There are massive problems in children's. There's a number of reasons for that. I don't think it's just because it's a national issue. There is a national issue, but I think we've got a specific issue in the county council which needs addressing, which I challenge through my audit function, senior officers. But I think we're also going to explain to the people in Devon where their money's going and sell it. So I often hear quite a lot of comments about there's not enough money. It's all been taken doing this. What you don't hear is how many appointments are done a day. Social care. You don't see how many dog care visits are done. You don't see how many parking tickets are issued daily. How many bus services are done. How many miles are taken. How many kids are going to school. All the agreements are done with money. Now, my pushback, I give to my colleagues and to the officers, just because you haven't got all the toys you want, don't mean you do a good job. Don't mean you explain exactly what a good job is. So I will see more positivity from the authority rather than just sometimes complain about.
Thank you for that, Richard. Thank you for answering the questions and for coming along tonight. No further questions? Okay, move on. Thank you. Next. Yes. Well, item 7, to agree the 2023 meeting calendar dates, which have been circulated and attached. Have you got any queries with it, or Councillor Paul Eastman?
Queries. One of these working party hasn't met yet. No, it's because he still hasn't got the officers to actually come, and we can't talk about the officers. We've already agreed on 40,000 to be given to, almost 20,000, to be given to the skateboard park for a friendly and people want to know what's happened.
Yeah. Can we have one
we've already got the Valley Parks, which we're trying to do, the Bampton Park, trying to do, which they haven't got the officers to do anything.
I'll email Mark Williams and ask him for an update.
You know, because there's nothing there in the calendar here for 106 working party. I just think it's wrong. Sorry.
No. Hang on. Lisa will write to the CEO and get an update.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Hand up. Sorry, Councillor Fred Gabriel, and then.
Thank you. Yeah, I was just going to back up what Councillor Stock's saying, and the fact that surely if the two lady officers are no longer in post, the service lead could actually come to the meetings.
So one officer is in post, but she's been deployed to work with the Ukrainian families. The engineer, who looks after players on long-term sick, and the Section 106 officer has actually left. So it's a combination of redeployment and,
But the service lead is their boss. Surely they should know about Section 106 still, because he's got staff under him.
I don't know. I don't actually know who the officer, which service lead the officer. I don't know. Because it's obviously planning. It's planning related, isn't it? Well, so it might be. I'll check.
I was going to say, Chair, that I got an email a couple of weeks ago that they have appointed someone who is outside of this particular area to cover Selena's job. They announced that Mark sent the note saying Selena had left and she has actually been replaced by somebody.
Okay.
So there is in the office. Obviously, I haven't got the email to hand. But we were all advised of this new appointment when she's beginning.
Could you share that email with me,
I was saying, dear colleague Selena has left and obviously has done a magnificent job, and I'm pleased to announce or whatever that this person will be taking over.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah, just following on from that, I was looking at the civil information on the websites, and there's no reports since 2019-2020
about our budget. So we have to do it before December 31st for the financial year that ends in the prior April. So we will be submitting a report in December for the funds that we receive from April 21 until March 22.
There's nothing on there since the latest one is 2019-2020.
Okay, I thought the 2021 was on there.
No.
Okay, all right. Are you talking about the district council's website or our website? Because I think it's on our website. Because we have to submit an annual report, but it is a year in arrears. And actually, we haven't had any SIL receipts. We normally get a payment in October, and we've not had anything. And I suspect that's because there's. Sorry.
There should be one.
Normally, we get when we first started receiving the money, we'd get it in April and October, and then I think due to pressure of work, we ended up just getting one payment last year in October. Although it covered the full year, we didn't get it till October. Don't think we've had one this year at all. That's possibly because they haven't had an officer to process the payments.
Okay. Well, thank you.
ask the clerk, please, Lisa, have you any idea when they will, when developers will be starting to take money back? Because if we're not spending it, time's going on.
There's no risk of any money going back because it's on a rolling basis. And as we accrue it, if we've allocated some, they'd have to be fairly savvy to realise that we haven't spent it. And the fact that we've allocated match funding money for the levelling up fund bid, and we've allocated some money to the floodlights, we're fine. We've spent, out of the monies we've received so far, bear in mind that we funded the junction improvements at Liverton, and we paid for a contribution towards the skate park improvements themselves. And we've earmarked money for Bacton Valley Park and the Dean Anne Way extension match funding.
The fact that it's earmarked and not spent technically means it has been spent, even though it hasn't.
Well, no, but we have no, but we're not at risk of losing any, because what we have actually spent so far, we're still within the 5-year time frame.
Okay, right, thank you. That's a relief.
Because it's from when the first couple of years that we received money, we only received, I think it was £9,000 the first year, and then the second year it was about 60. So the first 2 years we haven't actually spent that money yet. You know, well, we've spent that money, but we've still, it's done on a rolling basis, so there's no risk at the moment. But I mean, it's unlikely that a developer would ask for it back, actually. You know, if you can demonstrate that you've got plans and you've got projects in the pipeline to which that money is committed, it's very unlikely that they would ask for it back. They'd only ask for it back if, you know, you were seen to be sitting on it and not doing anything with it. But I think we can demonstrate that through our working party and through our, you know, our minutes, that we discuss it and we've allocated it. So,
okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. So I think that brings the council meeting to a close.